So, Sheila? Yeah, I don't know if you can hear me, but the nurse says that this, helps. I don't know. I just don't know, but, I'm trying here, and I can't fight this battle for you. I wish I could. Doctor says that he thinks they got all the tumor from your pancreas, but if there's anything that they missed, and the surgery didn't do shit to stop the spread of the cancer. So they're going to put you back on chemo, honey, but they don't have a lot of options anymore. They say they need to check to make sure it hasn't spread any further than your lymph nodes. You know, I know you probably tried to tell me. You probably felt sick for a really long time, and I wasn't home. I was away. I'm always away when you need me. I know. Oh, all the goddamn times you got mad at me, and what else can I say? But I'm sorry. Listen, the healthcare they're giving you, it's shit, okay? I mean, I've spent everything that I've gotten savings. I paid them whatever they asked for. So it's not that. I mean, don't you think for a moment that I would ever go cheap on you, honey. You and that dog of yours, I mean, you're the only fucking family that I've got anymore. I mean, you are it. So whatever you need, baby, I mean, you will always get it from me. I promise you. Come. Hey, excuse me. What are you doing coming in here?
I'm sorry to interrupt, Mr. Decker. I hope that she's doing well. I've reviewed her chart.
Are you a doctor here?
No, I'm not. I'm an outside consultant.
But you're a doctor.
I am.
Just not one of her doctors, right?
That's right.
I think you need to leave.
I'll do that. I just need to speak with you in private for a moment.
You know, maybe some other time, okay?
She doesn't have a lot of time, Mr. Decker. Let's not waste any more of it.
What is it?
There's a new trial of cancer treatments going on right now that have shown remarkable and seemingly impossible recovery rates in all of the subjects.
Yeah, don't feed me some medical bullshit, all right? All of the doctors have told me the opposite. Pancreatic cancer is just about the worst fucking cancer that you can get.
It is. And yes, for someone with her chart, I'd also be giving the family a very sobering prognosis. I mean, I would have just a year ago, Jan.
How do you know my name?
I'll get to that. We have a brand new therapy that not only specifically targets the cancer DNA, it also regrows and replaces the lost tissue. It's in limited trials as we speak. Invitation only. Your girlfriend, Jan...
Fiancé. She just doesn't know that yet.
Right. Of course. She's a perfect candidate for the trial. We'd like to start her in it as soon as she recovers from the surgery.
And how much are you going to charge for this?
That's the best part, Mr. Decker. This won't cost you anything.
I wasn't born yesterday. What's the catch?
No catch, I assure you. You've dedicated your entire adult life to military service. Service to our country. Jan Decker, the people of this country owe you a debt far greater than money. And if we can give you back the life of someone you love, that will almost make up for what you have given to us.
Who are you?
Adam Wilson. Dr. Adam Wilson. I work for Akaiso Inc. We're an up-and-coming pharmaceutical research laboratory here on the East Coast. And we've been revolutionizing cancer treatments thanks to a very generous grant from the U.S. government.
The U.S. government doesn't have a great track record in medical, progress.
Maybe most folks don't realize the government doesn't advertise their successes that frequently. But you surely know, as a former member of the U.S. Special Forces and a current classified employee...
Well, this is a public place.
Oh, right. Sorry. You know the sort of advanced toys that the government gives their operatives years before the public ever gets access.
Yeah, Dr. Wilson, promise me you'll take good care of her. I mean, real good care of her.
You have my word.
Because if you cut corners on her treatment or you give her some fucking placebo instead of the real thing, I will find out. And you would seriously fucking regret it. I got the message. I remember what you said. Heaven is nothing if you don't make the best of the rest. Oh yeah, the times define the lines I can never go across. I lost the toss, but I will never show.
The greenery and shadows of the glass dome begins to be filled with embers and orange light. Crawford, you run out. You run out of the main crack, which seems to have been dealt by perhaps the strange creatures that inhabited it, or outside fighting and shootouts that are still resonating across the mansion, but at a pace that has slowed down now. It is completely, it's night now. It is the sky is covered. It is dark. There's no large sources of light except from the fire that you've now started in the glass dome. Where do you go?
What are my options? There's like a hallway that leads around to the, when I was here before, then we went over to the main area where the, you know, the reception was going on. I don't want to go that way. What other doors do I have?
So technically, leaving from the hole that was made in this glass dome, there's this part that leads straight outside. So it's not, you're not even inside the building. But from there, you also see in the back of the mansion other doors, probably staff doors, that lead back inside.
Hmm. So I remember a couple of things about Jan's tactical assessment, and I want to either go down into the basement or out to the water. And if I can see daylight, like I can see outside, I think I'm going outside.
So outside is very dark.
Okay, yeah, not daylight, but I can see outside.
I will say currently there's no moonlight to guide you at all, nor starlight. It is pretty much pitch black.
Hmm.
It's also lightly snowing, which does not help.
Are any of the doors that lead further in, they're all key carded or not key carded?
You see that they are key carded, but one has been blown open. It's completely torn off its hinges.
Like signs of explosion or signs of something really strong?
Signs of people with battering rams knocking it down.
Oh, shit. Okay. Alright, let's go that way, but pay attention to where the guys with battering rams are sound-wise, and not go that way.
Okay.
But trying to go down, trying to get to the basement.
Yep. You can make me an intelligence check or a navigate. I would also accept survival.
Survival's a 40, navigate's a 50, and intelligence is 45.
Alright. Navigate it is.
Oof. 56 over 50.
Hmm. You stumble around and you see that there are several bodies strewn about in positions of running away or in fighting as well. You see guns scattered here and there, mainly handguns. Large streaks of blood as well. Obviously, firefights have erupted and are still, as you kind of look at this in the dark, you hear one kind of erupt in another corner of the mansion. Farther away, but still makes you flinch, makes you jump.
Do any of the bodies have, obvious body armor, I guess, strip?
Yes, I will say so. You see that, a large, bulky man that seemed to be a bodyguard had, a Kevlar vest, but was shot right in the forehead. A single shot.
Okay. Not good.
Not good.
I'll ignore that and hope I'm luckier.
One can hope.
At least his Kevlar is still intact.
It is. It absolutely is still intact. So it gives you 4 points of armor.
Sweet.
As you put it on. You wander around in the halls. Maybe you even go in the back of the kitchen. And everything is eerily, again, no electricity. There's no lights. It is dark. Silent. And then here and there it's broken off by gunfights. Sometimes screams. And sometimes this just sound of things kind of just clawing, like nails on a chalkboard. And this creepy just strange howl, but it is not as strong as it was, not as ear-piercing, especially when it was pretty much right on your talons. So it seems like the situation has calmed down, but not in a reassuring way.
One side is pretty much won at this point.
It definitely sounds like it, yes. You move around, and you do find a door with a key card that seems to... You saw that door before, kind of wandering around the halls when you were exploring. It's probably the one that you saw, and you were like, that probably leads down. But you do see that it seems to be, there's several bodies that seem to have been trying to enter it and are kind of like leaning on the door. So you'd have to get your hands dirty to go down there.
That's okay. Is the door shut? They're just all up against it?
Yep.
While I'm moving them, I'll look for a key card too.
Make a strength roll.
Oh, that's probably not good. 61. Ah, under 70. Hell yeah.
Okay. You start doing so, kind of dragging them away. And I made you roll because, given enough time, you can bodies are heavy, but you can remove them. But the problem is that you do not have a lot of time, because as you begin kind of removing them, you hear. At first, you're not sure, but you hear steps. Two or maybe three people. Without talking to each other, just kind of walking somewhat close by in unison, then stopping. And then what seems to be very, very low talking, and then moving again. Whoever these people are, they're not friends. So, you manage in time to remove these bodies, beep the key card, doesn't make a lot of noise, and you can enter the door without being accosted by these intruders.
Okay. So now I'm on the other side of the door already?
Yep.
What am I looking at?
You are looking at stairs that go down. Pretty boring, quite frankly.
Nobody else, no bodies, no,
No.
Blood or anything? No obvious signs?
No.
I'm going to kind of look at the door like, fuck, I should really deal with that, but I'm going to go. I'm going to book it down the stairs.
Okay. You see, there are stone stairs, which is pretty impressive. And everything is covered in concrete, essentially, as it goes down into the earth. Must not have been easy carving this out into this the rock of in the rocky surface of this Scottish island. You go down, it stops, then turns and goes down again. You see several, what seems to be stations, for lack of a better word, with weapons. Mainly small pistols and shotguns, but every time you see there's racks, and all of them, there's maybe just one rack that still has something. So it seems that they were equipped, they were ready for action, but it just happened so fast that the security of the place got overwhelmed. So there's weapons, if ever, although I'm not sure that Crawford is So much a firearms guy?
I think I'd take one of each. I have 60 in firearms.
Okay, okay. No, yeah. So yeah, so there's probably like a medium pistol and a just a very classical pump shotgun.
Okay.
And going down, eventually, leads into a larger room that is quite dark. But it seems to be filled with reflective surfaces, because as you go down, the metal on your guns and everything just kind of reflects. But without a source of light, it is incredibly hard to navigate.
Still, is it like, are all the walls stone, or are they built out now?
You're honestly, the room is quite large. You don't honestly
know. Can't tell. Okay. I'm gonna stop and listen. Is there any other movement in this room or anything going on?
No movement per se, but you hear the sounds of what seems to be pumps. Or like really large aquariums with like the filters kind of make some kind of noise. It's mechanical, it's not electrical, because there's no electricity left, unless they have generators, which is very possible. Yeah, it's like a rhythmic pump into something with liquid.
Okay, I don't necessarily want to know what's in here, I just want to get through here. So, Follow the right wall around.
Okay. You put your hand on the right wall, you kind of go there. Give me a luck roll.
97.
You follow the right wall, and you bump into a large object that, in retrospect, is quite obvious, but it's like a large vat that is maybe 6 foot tall, so you hit your head on it. There's like supports, but like small metallic pillars, and then on top of it is this large kind of cylindrical vat, and you hit your head on the top of the vat, and it makes almost like, again, the sound like the sound of an aquarium, and coming from inside you this container with liquid, you hear like at the glass something like making noise.
Nope. Continuing along.
Continuing along, okay, you just kind of go down, still following the right wall, you go under this strange vat, and again you kind of hear like this, that kind of gets weaker, and you continue, and eventually you do find a door. You don't even know how much of this room, you don't even know how large it is.
But I did find a door.
You got to a door, which is closed.
Fuck. Through the door, any lights? Like, there's no lights on this side or that side?
No.
Did the pistol have a light on it? Like a flashlight?
Give me a luck roll.
Fuck. 80.
There is not. But you have your own source of light.
I do. But it's flammable.
It is.
And, I don't know. Flashlight's a little less. They're right here.
You kind of ponder your options of like opening the door and seeing that there's still no light. You hear, which is saying something, because you went down a serious amount of stairs and then turned and then went down again. Gunshots. Again, seems to be submachine guns from up, pretty much right like above you. They're dim, but you still hear them, and you hear screams. Of people being hurt, and then a single screen just being cut right away. As if it's rehearsed, it's very, very creepy to hear. Like an echoing scream, and then it's just cut off. It just ends. It seems like they're getting somewhat closer to where you were. You already knew that you heard them kind of stepping around, but they seems like these intruders encounter something.
I think that would, I don't know. I'm gonna go look in a tank. I'll light my hands and have a look in the tank.
Okay. So going to look into the tank, you see this quite large tank. It's maybe 10 foot tall on top of the support, so it's quite massive. And this kind of strange bluish liquid that bubbles, and inside of it are tubes. all attached and linked to the body of a man, which is naked, wired and strapped with all of these things, who looks absolutely identical to, well, every security personnel you've seen in the mansion. Yet you see that the body of this man in there is very much conscious and very much alive. As you look at him and you light the flame and his eyes grow wide and he just looks at you and seems to try to gesture something but can't. There's just too many tubes, too many things plugged into his body. And there's a humanity behind his eyes that was completely absent in every clone. Make a sad roll.
I don't have much of this.
Mm-hmm.
I love it.
Oh. Oh, no. Actually, 53.
You lose one san from... are you adapted to helplessness?
Yes.
Okay. I'll say you still lose one, because that's a human being
right.
In a large vat being kept alive, strapped, like a horrible scientific experiment. And...
Oh, we're about to fix that.
Sadly, that's the beautiful thing in Lovecraftian lore. Losing the sand means you probably make the connection. He's the original version.
He's what got copied.
Yep.
He's Boba Fett. Or Jango Fett, sorry.
Yeah.
But suffering a whole lot, it looks like.
How many of these vats? Like, can I see more from where I am?
You do. You see other vats for essentially as you kind of slowly make your way into the dark as your own sacred flame throws these large grotesque shadows, especially with the bodies just kind of floating into that substance. There's the bodies of all the original versions of the clones here.
Okay, and we're done with stealth now, so the flame is pretty fucking large and bright. Like, I can see now.
No, you see the whole room. It is a massive room. And you see that all the wires and everything is linked, goes into holes into the wall, or kind of goes down into the ground. It's a huge, complex, and quite frankly, just horrifying human exhibit, in a way. It's very, very disturbing.
Is there like a control room, or like...
Not exactly a control room, but at the end of the room, you see like a large panel, which seems to be linked with... a small generator, which still runs, very, very silent. It's like a small box. In fact, you think it's a generator, but you're not entirely sure. It's like a small metallic box. Like it just, there's like a couple of wires and kind of tubes linked to it, and then to the control room, and that panel is linked to all the other vats. You think maybe it's a generator, or like, just a metal cube?
And there's wires from, like, all of the, all the vats run to it?
Yep.
Matt, is there a shug-off in that box?
I can neither confirm nor deny.
Okay.
I plead the fifth. So it seems that control panel is seen to be extremely important because it is still... You know that thing still has juice. It can still do things.
We're either going to kill a lot more people or I'm going to save a lot of people, so we'll just start flipping switches.
Make a luck roll.
26, finally.
Just kind of look at the switches, and this is... Some of the switches are made of some kind of metal that is similar to the box that is next to it that seems to power it, but also just absolutely staggering. It looks a little bit like soap, but very hard soap. And kind of greenish. This is just baffling stuff. Absolutely baffling stuff. But you just kind of randomly just press buttons and pull switches and levers. And eventually you hear noise. Well, actually you hear a combined sigh of relief from everybody that is contained in a vat. And then you kind of see that their forms kind of stop moving on their own and just kind of go limp.
Cool. I mean, it's better than them stuck in there.
And then something rocks, makes you shake a little bit, makes the entire foundation shake, as even Jan and David would feel this, like a slight kind of vibration in the ground. Something massive just exploded in the mansion. You're not entirely sure what you just did, but you just blew something up. Again.
I was gonna say, I would smile. I like explosions.
And you actually see schematics of the entire mansion with notes and everything, and you kind of see like the schematic of a tower that rises kind of above the rest of the mansion, where it's written observatory, and it says to not cut current to the lens. So it seems whatever you did, you just cut current to the lens, and the reaction was it blew up.
Okay. That doesn't sound good, but the lens is gone.
Something just blew up.
Hey, it's not your fault.
Nope. And I will say as well, with the other blueprints that are next to it, you see, essentially, you can navigate the mansion very well. And you see that the door that you were kind of hesitating to go to seems to go down again, more steps. It shows on the island where this leads, and it seems to lead to some kind of cove. But just before this cove is an area named Nursery.
Okay, that... As soon as I would see the cove... Well, is there any other options that get... Like, is there any other routes that get away from the mansion, or is that the only one?
You see that the tunnels kind of spiral and continue deeper into the island, but some that kind of go outside, like an exit, quite frankly, is that this is the closest one, at least.
Okay.
There's others.
All right, I'm going that way.
Okay. As you make your way down, with your flame kind of lighting the way. Jan and David. So David, you just shot as the gunshot still echoes and rings out. Executed. Dr. Emma Varney, the so-called hostess of this auction, but you know better now. And she's lying stone dead on the ground as Jan kind of emerges from the half-open large vault with a large, what seems to be a book covered in a weird kind of grayish cover. Seems to be filled with thousands of pages, like a very thick dictionary.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I'll after, you know, firing the gun, he'll look up kind of stone-faced at Jan, be like, did you get it?
I got it. Let's move.
Let's get the fuck out of here.
And as you say this, you see from Jan, you spot it first, from the corner of your technically pointed towards the exit of the cove, so it would be on your right, so kind of going... back under the mansion, where there was a door that was half open. You see light emanating from that half open door, and you see it kind of wavering and not quite, not a stable source of light, almost like a torch of some kind.
Yeah, like a torch or a flashlight or something. Someone's moving.
Even more unstable than a flashlight.
Like a fire.
Like fire.
Like a flame.
Oh god. Alright, yeah, so I mean he'd quickly kind of raise a fist and then take a sidestep behind something for cover.
Yeah.
Maybe it's one of those vats, a control booth, a structural element, whatever is nearby. He's gonna duck in there, have his gun present, put the book beside him on the ground, and train the weapon towards the door. And then wait to see if this is coming closer, coming further, what the situation is.
Mm-hmm.
David will follow the cue and hop behind something and get his gun ready.
Okay. There's these large vats filled with this strange grayish silvery substance, which you can hide behind. Crawford, you go down these stairs in a half-open door that leads to a large room filled with these vats with this strange silvery substance, which you recognize as that's what the clones were made out of. They seem to be made of that strange substance, and you see that this large room kind of leads into like a small dock, where there's currently a small boat ready there, and you also see that there seems to be a path that kind of leads to another large room, but you're not quite sure what it leads to.
When I see the vats, I would kind of like mumble to myself, well, I guess I don't need that shit anymore.
Do we hear that?
You do hear this, and you also see him. Oh. He's hard to miss.
Oh, okay.
As the source of flame and light is gets closer, technically. And yeah, you see that it's Crawford, looking pretty... This dude jumped on a large glass dome and then slid and was met by creepy Edenites. Yeah, and
he's been through it.
Yeah.
He's bedraggled.
All right, Crawford.
Oh,
Stay put.
Yawn?
We're coming to you. Stay put.
All right.
I'll look at David.
Yeah, we'll come on up.
Get up. Recover the book, advance towards Crawford. Keep my weapon ready, but I'm advancing towards his position.
Yep, same.
Okay.
Holy fuck, how did you make it down here?
I went down. I just kept going down.
Well, okay, sure.
Were you followed? Is anyone behind you?
Yeah, for sure. Whatever is cleaning up there is about to start cleaning up down here.
All right, that's all I need to know. Let's go.
All right, let's move. Let's go. We got what we came for. Let's get to the boat.
As soon as I see the book, I'd be like, "You have the book."
We got what we came for. Let's move, Crawford. Let's go.
You want me to make it go away?
Not yet.
All right. You sure?
Yeah, I'm sure.
All right.
I'd like for the three of you to make an alertness roll, please.
Got it.
Okay.
Ah, 98. That's a fail.
Jesus, 93, that's a fail. Come on, David.
Man, I got a 46, I think that's a pass. Under 60, yes, 46. Success.
So the three of you are feeling the pressure. You've got what you were supposed to have. Time to bounce, time to get out of here. Especially since things are kind of starting to crumble all into itself and is eventually, as Crawford said, it's going to go down. But as you go... You make your way on the dock that is slightly snow-covered, and you kind of go to the small boat where you have two hostages. You just spot a shape, David, that is really quite hard to spot at night. But you see it. Over the cliff, just a single black shape just kind of very slowly make its way down. It's a person.
Oh, God.
It seems to be in complete control, just kind of landing over the rocks.
Yeah.
And then just kind of putting something over their shoulder with a nasty-looking, laser-equipped submachine gun. Just this dark figure is kind of just stalking its way. It has seen the three of you.
I'll point it out to Jan immediately.
I mean he points. I look in that direction. What do I see?
You see exactly the same thing. This kind of stalking figure in black uniform. You see that there's something, some speck of color on its shoulder. Some kind of triangle. Or like a patch. And as you see it stalking, it is looking at the three of you. And it sees you. See it. And it just raises its weapon very quickly and begins advancing.
Yeah, so I mean, that's his first response is to duck into cover.
Yep.
Basically. So, do you want me to roll for that, or how do you want to run this?
Well, we're running it as an initiative, and there's no surprise turn, no nothing, it's just a straight...
Let's do this.
And you see that the figure is advancing, and it is completely black, like it has something that hides its face, it has night vision goggles on, and on the night around and on the night vision goggles are kind of strange bluish crystals.
Mm-hmm.
And the boots of the man have these strange... they emit light, for lack of a better word. Just a very, very tiny amount of light. They look like when something is hit by lightning, it kind of has this strange kind of arcing pattern. It looks like it. And the boots look metallic as well. Very, very strange equipment.
All right, so my dex is an 80.
Okay.
So for initiative purposes, we're going to need that.
Minus 50.
Mine is also 50.
Okay. I'll have you go after David, since David succeeded his alertness, and thanks to him, none of you were surprised by this.
How far away is it?
I'd say about 25 feet.
Perfect.
So, yeah, Jan, it's your turn.
So, I mean, he hits cover, and then he's going to basically, I want to do suppressing fire on this guy, is my plan. So I'm going to open up automatic in his direction for the sole purpose of forcing him into cover. Or you're taking a huge burst, and that will buy us the time we need to strike. So that's my action. I'll do firearms for it.
Yeah, firearms.
I think it's a penalty on my shot or something, but my goal isn't to kill him, it's to put him down.
Yeah.
Force him down.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so I got a 66. Hell yeah.
Okay.
That's a successive, unless if it's a regular roll. His firearms, 90 is my firearms, so yeah.
90, amazing.
With an assault rifle, like, do you have a kill radius on that thing?
It doesn't have it on my paper, but I'm sure there's something in there. I have something better in mind than the assault rifle, but first I want to suppress him. So that's my first goal. Let's get this guy down.
It does have a kill radius. So yes. You see that with a crit as well. This shooter is suppressed, but you see that you just kind of fire around, taking pot shots, letting long bursts, and then going back into cover and shooting again. Whoever this person is not scared. But eventually, you just kind of
I know
you hit something. Like you shoot in the general direction, and you hear like pressurized air or something is gonna shoot out, and this like weird sounds of like grunting of pain. You hit something by accident, and that gets him
nice
to hide.
Job done.
It's the NRO Delta Killer's turn. he's gonna try to fix his equipment. As you hear kind of this ragged, very. Like, there's almost as if the man has a voice filter on. And like, a ragged breathing. And the sounds of just tools or something being used to repair something else. None of you can see him because he just hid behind. Like, he ran on the side of the cove. Like, there's a cliff between him and all of you. Yeah. But he's doing something, which you're not quite sure.
Okay.
That's a success. You hear the sound of like pressurized air reduce. There's still like a slight hiss, but it is not as present as it was. Which, Jan, you'd be probably, you have high military science, you know equipment. Mm-hmm. What the fuck is that?
Yeah. I'll figure that out later.
Yep.
Yeah, right.
Like, the guy didn't come out of the sea, he's not scuba diving. Like, mm-hmm. There's just something else. Yeah, but that is the NRO Delta Killer's turn. David, it is your turn.
David's going to... Can you see him currently?
No.
Okay. He's going to keep moving towards the boat, keeping his attention trained on that area, and also looking out for any other guys coming in that same area.
Mm-hmm.
But priority is the boat.
Okay. So you go in front of the boat, and you see that... you see that the figures in the boat are kind of like kneeling.
Okay.
You see that the bodyguard is just kind of like holding his hand, and is free of zip ties.
God damn it! Okay.
He broke one of his hands to
yeah
yeah. But you see, he kind of looks at you, just does like a shush gesture, and you see him kind of pull a gun and nod towards whatever figure arrived. Seems to be
okay.
Much more worried about that figure than you.
Yep. Okay. Cool.
You also see Michael Belikan there is kind of looking, just is like kind of like kneeling as well. He's also his zip ties have also been cut.
Damn it! Gave them one job.
Yep. And and you see that he kind of looks at you, and just kind of whispers as you're close to the boat. You better take this guy down because you don't want him to remember your faces, at all.
Working on it.
He nods.
Want to help?
Sure.
Thanks for sticking around.
He just kind of looks at you. No visible reaction.
Yeah. Well, he has no choice. This is the only way out.
Yep. And you see that he's studied. Actually, I'm going to roll human for this. You're being humanted. Oh, that's a failure. He just kind of looks at you, looks at the situation, doesn't say anything.
I'm just trying to make a friend. That's all I'm doing.
Yeah. Crawford, it's your turn.
I take a couple of steps back into cover, like inside the hallway, and cast Song of Power.
That's my boy.
All of you hear this weird hum and chanting, which you've heard when you were outside and you kind of heard him do it as he was wandering like the blasted hallway. But now he's doing it, and the way that like the large rooms kind of echo with his song gives it just a stronger kind of oomph to it. There's a almost like a bass to it. Yeah, Song of Power.
I rolled a one, which I really needed to roll a one there.
Yeah, yeah. You really needed to. Yeah.
So I lose one sand, right?
You lose one sand. Yes. Wow.
And I get 20 pow for it, or 20 willpower.
That's a clutch roll. That's a really clutch roll.
But I also lose one power, so I'm down to 14.
I will say, as you kind of sing, and you're kind of hiding in the back area of where there's the vats, you see like this smaller room where there's some kind of large vault. You kind of figure that's where the book was hidden. And the vault is like halfway open, and inside of it, you just kind of see like, it's a bit hard to see, it's somewhat dark, but your flame is quite bright now. The insides of this room just have these strange fungal patterns, almost coral-like, and you don't know why, but as you do your Song of Power, it's as if like there's a resonance with these things, with just these patterns there. That looks familiar.
Like it reminds me of Bob familiar or something else.
Making a natural roll.
Come on, make this one.
With a plus 20%
at this point.
Well, that's interesting. I rolled an 88.
Uh-oh.
Yup. Even with the 20%, that doesn't save me.
Nope.
You know what? I want to push it, though. I can push it. I have lots of willpower now.
You feel lucky?
Yeah, I feel real lucky.
So roll 1d8.
It's for loss of willpower, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because I can't lose 1d8 power. That would be a tragedy.
What do you got for sand? Is it 8? Or are you less?
I'm at 9.
Eight. Oh my.
9.29.8.
Holy cow.
Dos.
Okay, so you lose 2 willpower as you just... There's just something at the edge of your consciousness that pushes you through. Because whatever truth you were like this close to like getting to, you don't want to know. So make another unnatural roll with a plus 20%. Can't be worse. It was already a fumble.
Mm-hmm.
45. So with the 20%, I'm good.
Okay.
In your trappings of the cult of these beings, these outer ones that you introduce people to, there's a core teaching, which is a core teaching of lots of cults, quite frankly. Don't question at all. Do not question the authority. You just go along. And as you kind of notice this, it's almost as if a little voice of instinct in your head says, do not question this. You'll regret it.
Turn around and walk back out to the fight. Fuck that.
These are trappings and schemes that, you know what? It's just not worth it.
Yeah, after all of the shit today, even for Crawford, he's like, nope.
Yep.
Absolutely not.
You yourself, Wes, can think about the implications of what I'm saying, but Crawford is like, fuck no.
Fuck no.
No.
And Jan doesn't even give me a dirty look or anything?
Probably. Oh, and actually, how hyper geometry works, as you do this, without even rolling sand, David and Jan, you both lose one sand as well.
Oh, fuck. Okay.
Yep.
Just because it's around.
Yep.
Oh. Okay, so that puts me right at my breaking point. I'm exactly on my breaking point now. I haven't crossed it, but I can't remember if we hit it or cross it.
Whatever. Yeah, it's when you hit it.
I've just hit it then, thanks to the unnatural shit going on behind me.
Okay.
Yeah, all right, so I'll join you guys in a second, though. That's great for me.
A cute episode. Right.
But we're at the start of the next round, right?
Yep.
Okay, so I mean, Jan basically wants to just yell across at the guys in the boat, you know, which is David and random security guy, you know, keep him pinned. That's what I'd be like, keep him pinned. All right, I'm going to quickly set my gun aside, pull a frag grenade off, pull the pin, cook for a second, and arc it in to where this guy is in cover.
Okay, yeah. So you see, like, it's like a 60-ish degree angle, and he's kind of hiding behind that part of the cliff. So you just gotta, you just throw it and it's shrapnel. It's still gonna hit like the side of him.
I have special training in hand grenades.
Oh yeah.
Which uses my athletics, and my athletics is an 80. So this is something that he does.
Roll it, and do not fumble your grenade rolls.
Yeah, don't fumble this though. We know what happens, right, Taylor? If we fumble these.
No, I don't know.
You're literally Kobe with grenades.
Oh shit! Yeah, 77 is good.
Yeah. Oh my god.
Under 80.
Oh,
that's a crit success.
That's two crits in a row for you.
Wow.
I love that.
That's nuts.
Roll a D100.
All right. Here we go. That's a 91.
Okay. So you inflict 10 damage.
Her.
As you throw the grenade, you let it cook a little bit, and then you arced it. And it large explosion, very quick, and you hear the pressurized air that, you know, whatever equipment was fixed is now not fixed at all. You hear it louder, and you hear like a heavy boom, someone falling on the ground, kind of scrambling into the rocky shore, struggling to get back up. You hear a heavy like grunt again, filtered through whatever they're wearing. And you hear like a slight vibration, like something electrical of some kind as well, coming kind of combined with the pressurized air. But that whoever that was, they still got juice.
Mm-hmm.
Was that their turn then? Was like recovering from that?
Oh no, it's their turn now.
Yeah. Okay.
Now we're in trouble.
Yep. And all of you hear this kind of muffled scream. That sounds half manic, yelling out that, you know, I'm better than you, and you're nothing, and we're gonna completely clean this island from top to bottom, and I'll start with you, and you hear like very quick running. He'll attempt to do a called shot.
For those listening at home, that is minus 20% to the roll, but if you hit, it's an automatic crit. Is that how it works? Or double damage?
Well, in this case, it's because Jan is hiding behind cover, so it's just hitting.
It's just a regular hit. Yep. Okay, yeah. Gotcha. To counteract cover. That makes sense.
So I'm rolling one thing first. You hear it again, like sounds of something very slightly being fixed, and then in fucking terror, you see this figure run from the side of where he was hiding behind the cliff, and you see him just float up in the air, very like halfway controlled, almost like tumbling forward, and in the air just aim down and just let the submachine gun with a laser sight rip. I rolled for fixing their equipment, crit. Now I roll for the damage, which sadly they're in the air. They've got a much better shot.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my god. 93. So in the air, it, like, one leg kind of like pulls in one direction and the other another one. It's very awkward and unbalanced. Nothing to do with how it just silently stalked down from the sky.
Something's broken.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
You actually see that one of these strange kind of glowing boots, one is cracked. And, just kind of lets out a large rip of their heavily equipped submachine gun fire off. But it hits a couple of the vats. Doesn't fully break them, although it cracks. And that's it for the NRO killer.
Okay.
We have this nifty thing to ignore cover, but, well, it didn't work.
Yeah.
David, it is your turn.
Can I get a shot at him from where I'm sitting if I'm taking cover?
Yes.
Behind the boat somehow? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I'd like to do that. So it's just firearms roll?
Just firearms.
That is an 11, actually.
Ooh.
That's a crit.
There you go.
Is that three crits we've had against him? Oh, and he crit.
Yeah.
It's been that kind of fight.
It's been, yeah, just going God. Back and forth into this intense shootout.
Okay. What do? I roll damage and double it, or I roll twice as many dice, or how does that work?
You roll just once, and you double it.
Okay. So it's a D12 with my pistol.
Yep. It's a heavy pistol.
It didn't seem like a shotgun kind of moment. That is, it is it a 6 or a 9? That's a 6, so doubled to be 12.
Man. You see that they are wearing full-on tactical armor. Mm-hmm. So that is 6 points of armor. And you go through that.
Okay.
Yeah. And you critted, so I'll say that you shoot. And you kind of hit something, like, they have, like, these small, like, backpacks, they look like, but they have kind of, like, contraptions around them. You shoot it from the back. It messes something up. And you see that it also kind of doesn't explode, per se, but it kind of, some pieces of it crumble. And it pierces the tactical armor.
Okay.
You see the guy in the air kind of struggle to just kind of grab stuff at his neck, and is just going to pull out his night vision goggles with these kind of strange crystalline lenses, and just throw it on the ground.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you broke that equipment, and you see that he kind of, in a reflex, just kind of puts a hand on his back. You dealt damage. You shot him right in the back.
All right.
One hell of a shot.
Yeah. No kidding. Oh, do Bellick and the bodyguard have a turn, or are they doing anything?
Yep, it's coming up.
Oh, okay, gotcha, cool. Yeah, that's it for my turn.
A bodyguard is going to do exactly this. He's going to pull his gun, and is going to kind of lean on the side and attempt to shoot this flying specialized killer. Is that a success? It is not. Fires in the general direction, it echoes out, unsure if it hit or not. Bellick has no gun, is just kind of looking over at the sea, looking at what's going on. Actually, I roll for one thing. Yeah. That's all.
That's all.
Yep.
Nothing fishy.
All right, Crawford, it is your turn.
I want to pay attention to behind us and up on the cliff and see if anybody else is around, like anybody else is coming. We've been making a lot of noise.
Yep, make an alertness roll.
27, under 50.
I'm gonna look up the cliff, and again, it's pitch dark. Although outside is there's a little bit more light than when you were inside in the halls and in the large rooms. You don't see anyone else coming in, but you do hear a sound that is hard to hear in the erupting gunfight. It's the sound. Very, very faint, but of a helicopter. But you're not quite sure where, and you're not quite sure if it's getting closer or not. But it's not incredibly far.
Okay. Do I have to have line of sight to use infallible suggestion?
Well, I'll say so, yes.
And when I look at the dude up in the sky, like, does he look... Like, he looks fucked up, but not... dying yet, right?
Yeah, that's pretty much spot on.
I think I'm gonna shoot him with the pistol I picked up. I think that's the right call.
Okay, that will be your next turn.
Okay.
As you looked up the cliff and realized that there's a helicopter somewhat nearby, but not. It's worrying that it's there, but it doesn't seem to be getting closer.
Okay.
We go back to Jonstern.
All right, guys. This guy's up above at this point, right? He's still in the sky.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I basically just pick the M4 up again, raise it up, looking through the optical sights, and take another 3-round burst at him where he's flying.
Yep.
All right. So if I do a called shot, yeah, is that just 20%?
Yeah, minus 20%.
Okay. Yeah, because the combat optical gives me plus 20, so I'm going to negate that with a called shot. So just make a wash and do a regular firearms roll at this guy. That's 57. So that should be good.
Yeah.
All right. And that's this D12. Actually, with a 3-round, it becomes the lethal 10%.
It does. So it's just a D100.
So a 39 on that is 12 damage.
Okay. You pepper him. And you see that he went up into the sky and then arced down in a pretty uncontrollable way, but seemed to be controlling the general direction, and the general direction was you. And you see it kind of go down towards you and just kind of sling back its submachine gun and just pull out a large knife towards you. And then you just let out.
Oh my god.
As he just kind of screams, and he's got his night vision goggles are off, and you see that this guy is fucking crazy.
And he's not dead.
He is not dead.
Oh, fuck.
You do shoot him. And you see that he spits out blood. And that pretty much all of his armor is now completely destroyed. But yeah, he's got a little bit of fight left in him. Well, actually...
Ooh.
You see he kind of goes down to you screaming, you just pepper him. And you hear, like, things breaking and him grunting. And he just lands next to you, flat on the hard stone floor. You hear something break. And you see that he's unconscious on the ground. You got him down half.
Are we still in combat, or can I follow up on this guy?
You can follow up. He's unconscious on the ground.
All right. I mean, basically, he's right next to me. Let's pull my combat knife and then right in the throat and just finish this guy off.
Yep.
This is no point. Yeah, just right in there, clean and quick.
Yep.
All right. Catch my breath. Reload.
Okay. What about the others?
Yeah, if the coast is clear, I want to start this boat up.
Yep.
I'll tell Bellick and the bodyguard, be like, are we good to leave? He sounds like he's down.
You see both of them nod and say, and Bellick kind of says, let's get out of here before
okay.
Some of the others show up.
We got two more coming, and he'll stick his head out the door and wave towards Jan and Crawford to come over.
I want to take my knife, which is still in my hand, and get the patch off this guy, that patch you were describing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pulling that, taking that with me.
Yep.
I don't need his destroyed equipment. I got time for that. And I'm hoofing it back to the boat.
Yep. You see written on it is the earth, stabbed with a knife. And written around it is the Latin motto, supra et ultra.
Yeah. Ultra my ass.
And you see that pretty much all of this, quite frankly, baffling equipment as you kill them is broken. What the fuck kind of toys are they playing with?
I wish I had time to find out, but unfortunately I do not.
Yep. So do all of you go in the boat? Is there anything else you want to do?
Yeah, collect my stuff, collect Crawford. I'll usher Crawford ahead of me. I'll follow Crawford onto the boat. I don't really want him behind me with a gun, so I'll take the rear up, and let's go.
And I'll find a corner, but I'm gonna keep paying attention to the helicopter sounds.
Yeah. I'll pull up the key and start the boat up.